Well, tobacco giant Philip Morris will stop selling cigarettes in Britain within the next 10 years, bringing the curtain down on the Marlboro Man after more than a century on British shelves. The company says it wants to phase out traditional cigarette smoking and offer less harmful alternatives as part of a long-term strategy to rebrand itself as a wellness company. The announcement, perhaps understandably, has been met with some scepticism. Dr. Jamie Hartmann-Boyce is a senior research fellow with the Cochrane Tobacco Addiction Group and the Centre for Evidence-Based Medicine at the University of Oxford. Jamie Hartmann-Boyce, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
So Philip Morris apparently is directing its executives to go forth and, quote, unsmoke the world. So what is Philip Morris actually promising to do, Jamie?
Well, I think it's too early to know for sure. I mean, you said earlier that this is being met with some skepticism, and I think that comes from decades of working in the tobacco control community, people seeing over and over again these promises that aren't always fulfilled in the way that we would hope. What perhaps is different now that wasn't here 20 years ago is that we do now have these products which are being marketed as reduced risk, including e-cigarettes and some other products as well, that the tobacco industries are saying they can phase in as they phase out smoking. And there are a number of things that remain to be seen in terms of whether or not that's really going to be a win for health. What we do know so far is that, for example, e-cigarettes, though not risk-free, are considerably safer than smoking. So if actually they are used to stop people who currently smoke from going on to develop smoking-related diseases, that would be a public health win. But I'm not making any big predictions just yet.
Let's talk about that, because that seems to be where the new managing director or CEO of Philip Morris is hanging his hat. He said the company, government action would end the confusion helped by smokers, some of whom still thought the alternatives are worse than cigarettes. So he's talking about the alternatives, as you say, e-cigarettes, vaping, and there's a new product, a nicotine product called IQOS, which is a cigarette-like device which heats tobacco rather than burns tobacco, that's proving to be popular. There is concern still in some quarters, though, about, you say there it's a win from a public health point of view if cigarettes go and make room for these products. But there are concerns, aren't there, about, for instance, vaping and, you know, the fact that these products are all nicotine-based still.
Absolutely. So I think it's very tricky. In public health, there's little that's actually black and white. So we know that smoking is really quite uniquely deadly. When used as intended, when people become regular smokers, one in two will eventually die from smoking. So that's a really striking fact. And when we're looking at something like e-cigarettes, the evidence that we have overwhelmingly suggests that they are considerably safer than smoking, but not risk-free. So if we're looking at the role of e-cigarettes in a positive light, if what they do is enable people who smoke, who can't quit using other methods, to switch onto a reduced risk product, that is good news. If, however, what's happening is people who have never smoked before, would have never started smoking, start using e-cigarettes, then you have a population where they weren't going to experience any harms from smoking, and all of a sudden e-cigarettes are being introduced. So I think what we really need to think about as a tobacco control community is clear messaging and regulation. And I think that's one of the places, one of the points from Philip Morris, which I suppose does resonate. We know in the UK that pretty much year on year, more and more people who smoke indicate that they think e-cigarettes are as or more dangerous than smoking as evidence continues to go in the opposite direction. So we do need to fix that. How we fix that, however, I think there are lots of different opportunities, and we need to always be sure that in encouraging people who smoke to switch to e-cigarettes, we're not also somehow encouraging people who don't smoke to move on to using e-cigarettes.
Well, would that be their marketing strategy? I mean, if they're going to lose all the smokers, they're going to have to develop. And there's been a lot of focus on cigarette companies, big tobacco, over the decades of how they foster young smokers, teen smokers, and there's a lot of regulation around that. But surely that's the future for a company like this. Philip Morris says it wants to turn itself into a health and wellness company, but e-cigarettes and vaping and a young market, the basis of their target consumer group?
I think that's a really big concern, and that's where we need to be very strong on regulation, particularly around advertising and on anything that is clearly targeted at young people. But I think the other thing we need to be aware of when we talk about efforts to reduce smoking in the UK is that we also, over the past 50 years or so, have seen smoking rates come down quite dramatically in higher income countries, but we've also seen them rise in lower and middle income countries. Mm-hmm. And even within higher income countries, we've seen disadvantaged communities really still having quite a high prevalence of smoking. So there are obvious concerns when we hear, okay, England is going to be smoke-free. That's wonderful news. What does that also mean for the rest of the world? Where is the market going to go? And how do we work together globally to make sure that we're not just shifting the burden of smoking from one place to another?
Just on that, the new CEO said the company could see the world without cigarettes, and the sooner it happens, the better it is for anyone. But that this 10-year promise is only about getting Marlboro off the shelves in the UK. Is that right?
That's what I've seen so far, is it's specific to the UK, and I haven't seen timelines set on global tobacco availability.
How hard do you think it would be from a marketing, consumer, sort of health marketing point of view, for a big tobacco company like Philip Morris to, you know, transform itself from a cigarette company to a wellness company?
I mean, I think, having studied the tobacco industry in some detail over the years, one can never underestimate how effective their marketing teams can be. So though those of us in public health would obviously be hugely skeptical, we also shouldn't forget that, you know, at the beginning of the 20th century, cigarettes were still being marketed as health devices to help with digestion, to help with mental health conditions, when of course we know they're not. So I think, though it sounds implausible, and certainly knowing the huge amount of harms which have been caused by Philip Morris and other companies selling cigarettes, we can meet it with some incredulity. I don't think we should underestimate the ability of such industries mm-hmm. and the history of such industries, really framing their products in ways which have led to a lot of harm.
There's been a lot of talk that Big Tobacco is working to move into big cannabis, given legislation in Canada where big superannuation funds are buying into cannabis companies. Do you think this is part of the plan?
I couldn't possibly say, to be honest. I don't do much cannabis research myself, and I haven't seen that announced, but that doesn't mean I rule it out.
And just finally on nicotine, we know nicotine is not what causes the heart disease primarily, you know, that's so heavily linked and closely linked to, proven linked to smoking. But is nicotine itself dangerous to our health or simply dangerous in terms of its addictive qualities?
That's a really good question, and one that I think it's fair to say there still isn't total scientific consensus on. So especially in the US, there's quite a lot of public information advertising around nicotine harming adolescent brain function. It's slightly more difficult to see that in human studies. And what we do know is from studies which look at nicotine replacement therapy, so patches, gum, lozenges, that people might use to help them quit smoking. Those products have been around for decades, and we haven't seen any long-term harms from long-term use of those products. So that suggests to me that even if nicotine is bringing some risk, it is so dramatically lower than the risk of all of the other things in cigarettes. And one of the really important things to remember is that it is the burning of the tobacco in particular in cigarettes that is causing real issues. So switching onto safer products which aren't burning tobacco are likely to bring health benefits.
Jamie Hartmann-Boyce, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Jamie Hartmann-Boyce is the Director of Evidence-Based Healthcare at the Centre for Evidence-Based Medicine at the University of Oxford.